The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
1 in 10 of us have got a phrase that we have been using our entire lives and that we are getting completely wrong, though we don't know it, which of course begs the question, what is the phrase for each individual that you are wedded to that you don't know is wrong? Now, this is the thing. It's a campaign organised by Specsavers, which is clever because they're doing hearing tests. So they're saying, well, maybe it's because you misheard it in the first place. But it goes to that thing of what are the parts of language that we all take for granted that we get, to use a technical term, arseways. And the person that they have co-opted, you couldn't find a better person to discuss such a topic. The person that they have co-opted is Giles Brandreth. Giles, good morning.
Good morning. And the reason they co-opted me is that I went into them, not to get my eyes checked, but to get my ears checked, because I suddenly found that I'd reached the age where I was mishearing things. So that's why I went to Specsavers, because I genuinely corrected somebody for saying something that they hadn't actually said. And I felt very bad about it. It was Claire Balding. And I thought she'd said, talked about nipping somebody in the butt. And she said, bud. I definitely said, bud. I would never have said, butt. So these things can be embarrassing, but also there's some of them we don't know what is right or what is wrong. For example, would you say it's wriggle room or wiggle room? I want a little bit of room for manoeuvre. Is it wiggle room or wriggle room?
I would have always said wiggle, but I would have argued that you can say either, given the nature of English and its annoying tendency to develop.
And I would say you could try either. Not either, but you're right. The correct one is wiggle room. People could get away with wiggle room. There's another one that people...
Well, hang on, before you go to your other one, let me put one to you. How do you lean on hoisted by your own petard or on your own petard?
Hoist by your own petard, I would say. But a petard is an explosive. It's a firework. So it means you're blown up by your own firework. So I suppose if you think it through, things do change. For example, nowadays, you travel on a train, but in the old days, you traveled in a train. And actually, you are in a train, not on a train, are you? You live in your house, not on your house. So that is correct. But people do, the language does evolve. But what these are about, these are called eggcorns for a reason. About 25 years ago, a philologist misheard somebody describing an acorn as an eggcorn. And of course, an acorn is an acorn, and an acorn is a new word for these mishearings. And the one I was going to try out on you was scapegoat. I've heard people saying escape goat. But in fact, it is scapegoat, as I'm sure you knew. But it could be argued that it could be both, because the origin of the phrase goes back to the Old Testament, when the ancient Hebrews put the sins of the world symbolically onto the back of a goat, and sent the goat out into the wilderness to carry the sins of the world away from them. And it was an escaped goat. Off it went.
I always thought that was a bit tough on the goat.
Do you know, I think there's an animal rights issue here. I'm with you. I think it's a bad turn of phrase. We no longer need scapegoats or escaped goats.
While we're talking about torturing goats, are you familiar with the Judas goat?
No. Tell me about the Judas goat.
You love this. The Judas goat is, if you have a flock of sheep, or a herd of sheep, or whatever one has as a collective noun of sheep, and you want to send them into an abattoir to end their days.
Oh, no.
Indeed. You have a trained goat who goes in first. All of the sheep being herd animals go, well, Steve knows where he's going, follow Steve. So they follow Steve, and then there is a back door out of which Steve walks, but nobody else does. And that's his job. He just betrays herds.
Oh, this is the most what a way to start a Saturday. I mean, I'm really upset now that I'm in touch with you. I'm going to put you on my cancel list. How dreadful. But it's an amazing phrase, the Judas goat. My goodness. Well, let me give you one. Do you ever say, is this an Irish expression? He got off scot-free.
Oh, yes.
Because a lot of people now say scotch-free. And that's one that's easy to miss here, scotch-free, which they say. In fact, it should never be scotch-free. It has nothing to do with Scotland or Scottish people. A scot was a medieval term for a fine, a small sum of money that you were, a financial penalty was a scot. You had to pay a scot. So if you got away scot-free, you meant you didn't have to pay the fine, the tax, the penalty.
I always wondered where that came from.
Yeah. What about it's a moot point or it's a mute point? Did you get that one wrong?
That gets my goat while we're on the topic of goats. Yeah, it's like a damp squid.
Oh, damp squid. Well, that's so easy to do, isn't it? It's supposed to be a damp squib, as in a firework, like a petard. What about chomping at the bit? Is it champing at the bit?
Well, you see, chomping this is one that I always thought it was chomping.
It is chomping. But also it could be champing, because you champ. You champ your food, or do you chomp your food? As language evolves, it changes. I think where it's worrying, I mean, why I take a serious interest in this, is that there's lots of research that shows that way you speak and present yourself makes a difference to your life. The more articulate you are, the more successful you are. Well, that is the success of Irish people through the ages. I mean, if you've got the gift of the gab, it counts. You get a better job, you get a better girl, you get a better boy, whatever you're after, if you can talk well and clearly and be understood. So language is power. It's what defines us. As the great philosopher Bertrand Russell once said, no matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that he was poor but honest. Only language can do that. So words matter to me. And I think the mistake some people make, communication is key, and particularly as you grow older, if you can't hear well, you become increasingly isolated. So that's why actually getting your hearing checked is key. The fun bit is when you make a mistake. But if you make it and you seem ignorant, it's embarrassing. For example, for all intents and purposes, there was somebody I was at a meeting this week who said, for all intensive purposes. And I thought, can I correct that? This is the chief executive, and he's saying for all intensive purposes. And I said to him afterwards, I think it's all intents and purposes. He said, no, we're intensive here. We mean business. I said, fine, of course, sir. So it's quite delicate.
Well, I have to say that one of the most cringiest moments in my life was, it's now, I think, 25 years ago, I corrected somebody for pronouncing swinging, swinging, because I didn't know that they were two different words. And I still, now, there's a lot coming in. Anton, here, broadcasters don't say Brexit. They say Brexit. There are no eggs in Brexit. Another, what's the correct pronunciation of inventory? Is it inventory?
It's inventory, I'd have thought. Or do some people say inventory? Well, it's like schedule and schedule. I mean, sometimes these are American pronunciations that we have got over here. But I would say inventory.
Do you know the one that gets that I feel very sorry about, and that is, I think the Americans are right with aluminum.
Oh, do you? Instead of aluminium? It's spelled aluminum, isn't it?
It was originally spelled aluminum, and then it began to be misused so that it matched other elements like magnesium, because the EM was, but the original definition, as I understand it, was aluminum, and we've all gotten it wrong.
Do you know a girl called Susie Dent?
I do.
Who is a lexicographer, appears on a program I've done called Countdown.
Yes.
She's great fun. We've done a podcast together over many years. And she tells me, Giles, you've got to get used to change. Language evolves. And the things you often criticize as Americanisms, in fact, are things that were once English that went over to America and have now come back to us. So don't get onto your high horse. stop talking through your hat and just accept that language does evolve.
Where does high horse come from?
Riding on a high horse is looking, I think that goes back to the age of Dr. Johnson. I think that's 200 or 300 years old, when you were sitting, looking down on people from your high horse, so that you were somebody who was grand enough to have a horse. And on top of it, you could look down on the mere peasants. So you were looking down on people from your high horse.
Now, can we depart the world of language briefly? Because you mentioned Susie Dent, and this puts me of mind of you and women in general. And most specifically, I would like to ask you about you and Sinead Cusack. Because my understanding is that the biological
mother... This is not what I was expecting. This is supposed to be... I told that to you in confidence. And I mean, this was a private... We were just in our cups late at night. But it's true. This is...
You had the biological mother of Richard Boyd Barrett stolen from you by George Best.
I tell you, this was many, many years ago, more than half a century ago. I was in Dublin to take part in the Late Late Show with the late lamented great Dr. Gabo Gayburn. And I was young, I was a teenager, maybe I was 20. And at the party after the show, I met up with Sinead Cusack. I'd long been an admirer of her father, Cyril Cusack. Sinead and I were of an age, say we were 20, 21. And I felt there was a spark. I felt we got on very well. In fact, we did get on very well. And there was a lot of chitter-chatter, even the touching of hands. Our faces were quite close to one another's. I felt this evening is going very, very well. But I was wanting to impress her. And across a crowded room, I saw somebody who I knew a little bit, and I thought, I'll impress her by introducing her to this guy. So I said to Sinead, we were getting on so well. The fingers really were, well, not quite intertwined, but they certainly were touching more than perhaps would be considered wholesome. I would probably be cancelled now for this kind of behaviour, but it was half a century ago. We knew no better. And it seemed to be magic was in the air. And then I called to this guy, I said, George, come and meet my friend Sinead. And George Best, a footballer, came across the crowded room, and I introduced him to Sinead Cusack. And at the end of the evening, I couldn't find Sinead. We were going to go off for a post-party little drink and chat. No, she wasn't anywhere to be seen. She had left with George Best.
And half a century on, it is evident from your tone that the scar still is unhealed, Giles.
I woke up quite happy this morning. I could, you know, chat about my lovely hearing and Specsavers and these wonderful eggcorns. And now I find I've been put into a maelstrom of trauma by you. It is unresolved. I'm still in therapy. Well, but happily, I am still in touch with Sinead, and I meet her and her wonderful husband, Jeremy Irons, and she tells the story slightly differently. I don't think she remembers the magic in the air. She certainly remembers George. She said to me, oh, Giles, were you there? Oh, I'd forgotten that you were there as well. Oh, how nice.
Well, let us go back to happier things then, and that being the eggcorns. More coming in. A misheard phrase, parting shot versus Parthian shot. Does that mean anything to you?
It means nothing to me. Parting shot, I'm sure, is the one that is correct. But there may be some Parthian story that makes it work in Greek mythology. Who knows? But I'd give the marks to parting shot.
Another one saying it's wriggle room, not wiggle room. It refers to the movement of a worm as it escapes from a tricky situation. Wiggle is for hips.
I'm there with you on that one. I wish there had been some wriggle room when I was once caught in a lift with Miley Cyrus, because I attempted to do my twerking to her. I'm not very successful with these women. Maybe there's a reason for this. We were in a lift, and I thought, I know who you are. You don't know who I am. So to show how much I admired her, I thought I'd give her my wiggle, and I did a bit of twerking. She got out of the lift as soon as she could.
Giles, if ever there is a reason to say, you will have to come back on and tell us more of this story. That is it. We would love to have you back if you're willing. It has been a great pleasure. That is the one and only Giles Brandreth.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.